Stallone. Well, we're very happy to have today with us Andrew and Natalie Hayes from Cambodia, my good friends from Cambodia. These are good friends of mine from college, and they have been working in Cambodia now for the past 8 years. And they took fantastic care of me during my time in Cambodia. I really appreciate and love them very much. And we're also very happy to have Natalie's parents and their grandmother with us today. They drove down this morning from Gilbertsville, Kentucky, and very happy they're able to be with us today, too. So during the Bible class time this morning, Andrew shared with us about the work that's going on in Cambodia that they're doing, and it's great work. And if you weren't able to be here during that time, they're going to be here all day today. Would love to talk to you about that. Also, Dave told me that he recorded that, and that'll be available on the website, as well as the lesson that Andrew's about to present to us. I also mentioned during the Bible class time that Andrew's going to, I don't want to steal any of this thunder, but he's going to demonstrate for us during this time a Bible storytelling technique that they use in Cambodia to teach the Bible in Cambodia, because it's a way that you can teach people who perhaps cannot read very well, but also in addition to that, you know, everybody has different learning styles, and some people learn better, some people learn well reading from a book, while others learn better hearing, and there's all different kinds of styles, so it's also a technique that's used well for that. So I'm excited that he's going to demonstrate that for us this morning. So here's Andrew Hayes and his wife, Natalie. We're glad to have him here with us this morning. Andrew's going to present.
Okay. Thanks, Brandon. I think I'll push this back, maybe. Does that work? Yeah. I'm always happy to push podiums away. They can be useful. They can kind of show us the authority. They can cover up bottle caps too, but they kind of show us that, you know, what's read from here is the Word of God, and show the authority of God and the Scripture, and show the importance of it. But they can also kind of insulate people from God's Word. It can also kind of be a barrier, especially for those of us who are anti-authority. And I can't really see Jesus behind a pulpit, so I pushed it back. This morning is not going to be really a presentation at all, because it's what we learn today will not be just from me. We'll be looking in God's Word. Well, I say looking, but I'm not going to tell you where we're going to look in the Bible. I'm going to tell the story orally, and you all have to think some too, okay? And so we're going to work together, because as together we're the body of Christ, not alone. And you could maybe call it digging for treasures. There's a lot of treasures in the Bible, and when you dig for treasures in real life, there's going to be some dirt too. It's going to be a little messy, so it may be messy today. We may come up with an idea, and then we think, well, no, that's not right at all. And we may have this idea, preconceived idea, or something we've been taught in the past, and we may look at this idea and say, well, that's not really what it says after all. So it's not going to be a polished speech today. And as Brandon said, it's completely oral, 100% oral. I have no notes, which may make it messier. I did not even write notes. When I prepared this, I did it with Natalie, and we looked at the Bible long enough to memorize the story, to be able to tell the story to each other, and then we put that away. So it's completely oral. I have lessons that I've found with Natalie, but we may find different lessons, because a lot of the stories in the Bible have a lot of things that you can learn from them. So what we learned today might not be what we learned together, Natalie and I, before. So the procedure goes this way. I'll tell you background, a little bit of background for the story. Then I will tell the story. And then I will ask for a volunteer to retell the story as well as they can. Okay? This works still, right? So the volunteer can hold the mic and they'll tell the story as closely as they can to what I said or to what it really is. And don't worry, you might make a mistake. You probably will, unless you've already memorized the story. And that's fine, because after the volunteer tells it, I'll go through it again. We'll begin. First, the background. In the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he was in Capernaum, a city near where he's from. And he was teaching and casting out demons and healing people in Capernaum. And he became so popular, and so many people were bringing their sick to him, that he made a conscious decision to leave Capernaum and go from town to town to teach, because he said that's why he came, was to teach. So he made a conscious decision to leave and start going town to town so that he could teach. That's the background. So now here's the story from God's Word. A man came to Jesus who had leprosy, and he was begging Jesus on his knees, and he said, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus was moved with compassion, and he reached out his hand and touched the man, and he said, "I'm willing. Be clean." And he sent him away. And immediately the leprosy was gone and the man was clean. And Jesus sent him away immediately and warned him sternly, saying, "Don't tell anything to anyone, but go to the priests and show yourself to him and make an offering for your cleansing according to the law of Moses as a witness to them." But the man went out and began speaking freely about it, so much that Jesus could not enter openly into any town anymore. And Jesus was staying out in deserted places, and people were coming to him from everywhere. And that's the story. Okay? So who would like to volunteer to tell the story back to us? Just raise your hand or say, "I will," or stand up. Okay, we got a good volunteer here. This is on? All right.
Say the exact same way you said, or try?
Just the same meaning. You don't have to say the same words, but just as best as you can remember.
Okay.
What the story is.
All right. I don't remember the guy's name. I just know the guy got on his knees, and Jesus came up to the guy, and the guy was like, "I need to be saved." And Jesus saved him. I'm summing this up a lot. And after Jesus saved him, he said, "Do not go and go tell everybody. Go to the priest to get, like, get cleaned up." Right? And then he did that, and that's all I remember.
Okay. What's your name?
Jaquan.
Jaquan, thank you very much. Round of applause. Very good. Okay, so I'll tell it again. And uh-oh. That's fine. Probably should just leave it there because now it'll fall again.
Yeah.
Hopefully not. There we go. So I'll tell it again and I'll help you or let you fill in some blanks. A man who had what?
Leprosy.
Okay, leprosy. He came to Jesus and he was on his knees and he was begging Jesus. And he said, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus was moved with compassion and he reached out his hand and touched the man. And he said, I'm willing, be clean. And immediately, the leprosy was gone, and he was clean. Okay. And Jesus sent him away immediately and warned him sternly. He said, don't tell anything to anyone, but go to the priest and show yourself to him and give an offering for your cleansing as a witness to them. And so the man did what he said? No, the man went out and told everybody. So much so that Jesus couldn't enter into any town openly. Jesus was staying out in deserted places, and people were coming to him from everywhere. Okay? So here, now is where we begin the digging for treasures, okay? I'll ask some questions, and whoever wants to answer can answer. And when you answer, try to speak loud enough so that most people here can hear you. If it doesn't work, maybe we'll have to send the mic around, but that takes time too. So this man has leprosy, right? What's it like to have leprosy back in Jesus' day? You're an outcast, yeah? Death sentence. So you're kicked out of society. You're on death row. You know, you don't know how much longer you got. You think hurting? In what way?
Physically.
Every way that you can imagine. Yeah. You're physically just kind of falling apart, literally, right? Okay, so just your appearance to other people would have been difficult, right? Any other things that are related to life as a leper in the first century? You think lonely? Wouldn't you be lonely if you're
hopeless?
You know, what hope do you have? Could you go into a town? No, you couldn't, right? And everywhere you went, according to their law, was you had to walk around and you had to unclean, get away. It was their law because you were literally physically unclean. If you gave me a hug, then I could easily get what you have. It's a quarantine, right? What did the man ask for from Jesus? Did he ask for healing? He asked to be clean. Isn't that strange? You think the healing was more important than the cleanliness, or what do you think? Huh? I don't know. What do you think? It's a good question. What's that? How? So he's just kind of probably got a lot of very difficult thoughts going in his head. Not just the physical sickness, but other things. I think there's a comment. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, so it's more than just the sickness. The sickness is maybe the cause, but it's a total, you know, life change. So being clean again, what does being clean mean? Clean, new, normal life? Yeah, it could be. I mean, so cleanness is much more than just not being sick anymore, physically. And how did Jesus make him clean? He reached out his hand and he touched him. Did Jesus need to touch him? I wouldn't think so. Just, yeah, you look at them. Yeah. Would you touch the leper? David's a leper. Fingers are falling off. But Jesus touched him. What happens when you touch a leper in Israel in the first century? You might get leprosy, but you are unclean. And so what does unclean, you remember what unclean means? Yeah, there's a period of time where you have to be quarantined, separated, away from society. Dangerous, right? Stay away. So how did Jesus heal the man? How did Jesus take his uncleanness away? The man. Now, when I touch the leper, sorry, you're just closest, so. I'm Andrew. David's a leper. He's got leprosy. And I touch David. What's the result now? I'm unclean. Is he healed clean? No, not if I touch him, right? We're both unclean. But when Jesus touches the man, it's... Yeah.
There's more to it than that because this man probably hasn't touched for years.
Yeah.
The issue is that it touches and shows compassion, love to the man. It's, he makes him clean.
Yeah. But Jesus does. And when Jesus touches the man with leprosy, it makes a difference. But how does Jesus make the man clean? Where did the uncleanness go? Did it go away? Was Jesus clean? When Jesus touched the man, was he clean? Was Jesus still clean? Yeah, but you get the symbology, right? When I touch a man, we're both still dirty, right? But Jesus will touch a man and will take that from him. Jesus became unclean so that we could be clean. He became unclean so that man could be clean. Okay? So that's a lesson from the story. We'll go back to it, okay? And forgot to tell you. At some times in this process, you might feel the need to come up with a lesson, like, well, this means today that we should do this and this. But we try to stay in the story for a while and delay that jumping to application that people like to do. So we'll just let that be for now. We'll pick it up later. What do you think about Jesus' actions after he healed the man? So he healed the man, the leprosy was gone, he was clean. Then Jesus sent him away immediately, sternly warned him, don't tell anyone anything. What do you think about that? Okay. Okay. So for some reason he didn't want people to just run to him as the magic genie worker guy. Okay. Okay. But yeah, it's safe to say that Jesus didn't want the man to tell? What do you think? Do you think Jesus wanted the man to go out and tell everybody? That's possible. So for whatever reason, Jesus did not want the man to tell. And he mentioned the towns. His plan was going to the towns, right? And then this man, what's the result after the man does tell? What happens when the man tells?
Mm-hmm.
So what the man does really affects Jesus' plans, right? His plan was to go town to town, and then this man tells everybody, and he can't do that anymore.
He had left Capernaum to teach, and he would not be able to teach if all he was doing was doctoring. Because he did not come to the earth to heal all sickness. He came to earth to heal all spiritual sickness. He had to do it with teaching. And so miracles was a means to an end, but it was not his main mission.
Yeah, I think that was clear, right? He said he came to teach. And when the man told...
It interfered with his teaching.
Yeah, in a small way, right? Just a little small way, or maybe a big way? Was it a big thing or a small thing? I mean... Yeah. Yeah, he had to get away, right? He was going to go town to town. Couldn't even go in the towns. And then he tries to get away, and what? They still can't get away.
They came to see him for a different reason. Not to hear his teaching. He did the same thing, but they came to get food from him.
Yeah.
You didn't come to hear a message.
Yeah, so there seems to be a very different situation from Jesus teaching and from all the people coming to him. Seems that something about that is not what Jesus wanted to happen. Could we say that? Yeah, just the fact that Jesus healed him, not even considering that the man told about it, just that fact would have held him up for however long the law required him to be separated. Just that fact of just the one touch would have interfered with his plans. Well, do you think the man's disobedience was a really big problem? I mean, can you understand maybe why the man might tell? You put that yourself in that position. Yeah. Overwhelmed. Just everything in his whole life has just suddenly changed. And you probably would want to tell people, right? I mean, I can't imagine not. Right, I mean, he's going to the priest, you know, or at least it doesn't say that he went to the priest, but he would apparently meet people he knew, I would assume, that would notice. So does it seem like a big disobedience for the man to tell when Jesus told him not to tell?
But Scripture says that there's a way that seems right to man to control the eye.
Yeah. Well, it seems like that's what's happening here, right? Jesus has a way, and the man's way probably seems right to him. Most of the time it does for us. But what's the end result of what the man did? Yeah. Jesus came to teach, right? And when he came to teach in the towns, couldn't, right? So this man's small disobedience here, what kind of effect did it have? What's that?
Fire in a forest.
Yeah. Yeah, so Jesus wanted to teach. He had a plan, right, to go around teaching. And this man tells people, and all of a sudden, you know, this one action or one disobedience that this man did had this broad effect on... how many people do you think it affected when he did that? Yeah, I mean, it's like everyone was coming to him from everywhere, you know. A lot of people were affected in a negative way. And the fact that the plans of Jesus were pretty much, you know, ruined by this one man's actions. So that's kind of another lesson, right? No, we don't see it in the story. That's a good question. What do you think that Jesus knew that the man was going to disobey? Yeah. Not that it was like in his ideas for what he should do. He was willing. So what do you guys think? This side's been quiet here in this front area. What do you guys think? Do you think Jesus knew that the man was going to disobey? See some heads shaking, like yes shakings. Yeah. Jesus didn't like Jedi mind control him, you know, like, you don't need to tell anybody. No, he didn't do that. So you see that Jesus, the Son of God, is changing his plans based on what men are doing. That's a quite a lesson there too. Yeah, that's yeah, I mean, he
so I think there was, that's sort of the difference when the Bible says he did miracles and signs. Why isn't it just
Yeah.
He could also heal, and it was compassion, but it also could be a sign to help him teach.
Mm-hmm.
This was not a teaching miracle. It is for us.
Yeah, as we know about it.
But for the man, it was just a compassionate action. He says, don't tell anyone. Mm-hmm. Of course, he disobeyed.
Yeah. Yeah, so why did Jesus heal the man? Move with compassion, right? It wasn't a, like you said, it wasn't a sign to teach or to show his power or anything like that.
And so he told him that he wasn't to bring honor to him.
Mm-hmm.
He still wants his honor of God through Mosaic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it turned out, like you say, the disobedience brought him the attention different than he wanted at that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Brandon, I think you had something? Or maybe they covered it? Or?
It seems like Jesus, I mean, like you said, he had a plan to go into town, and he knew what the result would be if this man went and told everybody.
Yeah.
Apparently, that seems like that's why he told.
Yeah. Anybody. Well, even his recent plans were he had already had this experience in Capernaum where he had apparently healed a lot of people, and obviously they told other people, and so then he just gets strong and he's trying to get away from that. And even trying to get away from that. That's powerful, right? So why did he heal the man? What's compassion? What does that mean? Loved him, yeah. What? So he loved the man, he had compassion, even though it messed up his plans again, further messed up. He did it because he loved the man, he had compassion. What is that? What does it mean to be moved with compassion? So I think that's kind of literal translation, moved with compassion. What is that? Empathized? That's a big word.
Puts himself in the place of God.
So he can...
He felt
he felt what that man felt. He could... Yeah, he could... Compassion, that's what the word compassion means that. I mean, he feels that the pain that that other man is carrying around.
Mm-hmm. He was moved with
compassion. Yeah. He's making his decisions based on his head or his heart. This is the feelings that he has for this man are moving him to act. Because he has a strategy in his mind already. He's teaching, going from town to town. But what moved him was that compassion. I think I've overstayed my time. So we see that Jesus had clear plans, but because of a feeling that he had, he completely changed those plans, even though he knew, or at least could guess, that his plans are messed up. Wow. Just one guy, right? Just one guy. And didn't want to tell everybody about it. It wasn't like a PR gig, you know. It wasn't like, look at this great healer, you know. He didn't want people to know. But he felt that man's pain, and he wanted to do something about it. He wanted to help the man. So I think we've got three or so lessons. We'll kind of go back. Do you remember what the first lesson was? Test here. Well, yeah, we talked about what it was like to be a leper, being unclean. But what was the lesson we drew out of that? And I walked over here. I touched. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's the, yeah. When Jesus healed the man, he took on that man's uncleanness when he healed him. So, what does that look like in Goodlettsville, Tennessee, 2015? What does that look like? Someone becoming unclean to make others clean. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, we don't have leprosy, but we've all got something. What's that? Okay. Okay, coming late to church because you stopped to help someone fix their tire. You get, like, staying on your nice Sunday shirt or something. Late for your song leading appointment. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, right. Yeah. Right, you know, none of us can cleanse the leper, but Jesus can. He's the only one that can. Well, have you seen people becoming unclean to make other people clean? I mean, where have you seen it or heard of it?
A lot what?
A lot better person than I was.
Oh.
At the time. And he reached out to a lot of other kids who were not yet. No one else wanted to be around.
Mm-hmm.
But he befriended them. And I remember
Wow. In modern America, a prisoner, I mean, once you've been to prison, that's a mark that doesn't come off, you know. That's a mark, a stigma, right? It just stays with you. What does that mean for Echo Hills Church of Christ or the people here in this room becoming unclean to make other people clean? Yeah, not out front. Not everyone's out front leading, waving the flag. Okay. Yeah. And we see that from Jesus, don't we?
We're expecting
Yeah. Yeah, can everyone hear that? Did you guys hear in the back? Okay, I don't know how it carries. But yeah, when Jesus healed the man, it was not from any kind of goal that he had or end that he had. It was solely because he felt for that man's situation, felt for that man. How do we do that at work? Or in our neighborhood or communities. Mm-hmm. Small things.
Mm-hmm. I think it takes being willing to look at a person's pain too. Most of the time, I think we're on a mission to do something or running an errand or whatever we're doing, we're at work or whatever. We know what our goal is and what our work is, and we need to do that.
So it's not just here's a leper, zap, he's clean. You know, it's getting close to that pain, feeling that pain. Someone that's suffering, being willing to go there. Well, let's look at the next lesson. Do you remember the next lesson? Maybe we should skip to the last lesson. We're running out of mental and emotional juice here. The last lesson was, and I think actually you touched on it, didn't you? Jesus had his plans, good plans, but this man came along and he changed his plans completely because he felt that man's pain. So have you seen that? Have you seen someone changing their plans because of their compassion that they feel in their hearts for another person? Well, I'll ask, where have you seen it? Or when did you see it?
I mean, I see it all the time.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, you used to go out and somebody needed help, like that one time Bickle asked for some people to help. I wanted to go to sleep, but mm-hmm. I went out there to just help Bickle just because of the love and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Because you connect with that person, mm-hmm. You want to help.
Mm-hmm.
hard to top that story. So I think I won't top it because I can't. So there's no conclusion to learning like this, right? The conclusion is your life. How we're different after this than we were before it. So I'll just end with may God bless you and go with you. And thank you for your time.